Chapter 30. The Return to the Mill. Tom was back at the mill. He had made his family name respectable once more. Once again, they were the Tullivers of Dorlcote Mill. But there was no look of triumph on Tom's face as he stood by the mill wheel, watching the rush of the water. His mouth wore a bitter expression. No news had been heard of his sister since she had run off with Mr. Stephen Guest. Someone from St. Ogg's had seen them entering a hotel in Mudport the previous evening. Would the next news be that they were married? Probably not. Tom expected the worst to happen. Not death, but disgrace. The booming of the water was so loud that at first he did not hear her calling his name. But then he looked round and saw Maggie standing by the gate. She looked tired and lonely. "It is just as I thought," he said to himself in disgust.
"Tom,"
said Maggie in a faint voice,
"I have come back to you. I have come home. I will tell you everything."
"You will find no home with me,"
replied Tom angrily.
"You have disgraced us all. You have hurt everyone closest to you. You have been wicked and deceitful. I never want to see you again. You don't belong to me."
Mrs. Tulliver appeared at the door. She stood there, paralysed by the double shock of seeing Maggie and hearing Tom's words.
"Tom,"
said Maggie with more courage,
"I am not as guilty as you think. I never meant to give way to my feelings. I struggled against them. I was carried too far in the boat yesterday. I came back as soon as I could."
"I don't believe you,"
said Tom.
"You have been carrying on a secret relationship with Stephen Guest, just as you did before with someone else. You've been using Philip Wakeham to deceive Lucy. Go and see what you have done. She's ill."
"I'm sorry, Tom,"
cried Maggie.
"I know I have done wrong, and I repent. Keep me from doing wrong again."
"Nothing will keep you from doing wrong,"
cried Tom.
"You say you struggled with your feelings. I've struggled with my feelings too, and I conquered them. I have had a harder life than you, but I found comfort in doing my duty. I will provide for you if you want, but you shall not live in this house. The sight of you is hateful to me."
Maggie turned away with despair in her heart. But just then she heard her mother's voice crying out,
"My child, I'll go with you. You still have a mother."
Mrs. Tulliver ran up to Maggie and threw her arms around her. Then they went off together, hand in hand.
"Where shall I go, mother?"
asked Maggie sadly.
"I don't know,"
said Mrs. Tulliver.
"We could go to your Aunt Glegg's house, but I'm a bit afraid of what she'll say."
"No, let's go to Bob Jakin's house. He has plenty of room in the roundhouse."
When they got to the old house by the river, Bob himself opened the door. He asked no questions, but showed Maggie to a pleasant room on the ground floor. He told his mother and his wife to make everything comfortable for her. That evening, when they were alone in their room, Maggie tried to explain what had happened to her mother.
"When I told him we had to go home, he was very angry. We argued about it for hours. He said that the damage was already done. We had already hurt Lucy and Philip, and to go home now would just hurt ourselves without doing any good to them. But I had to come home, and so finally I left him and made my way home alone. I hope I did the right thing,"
said poor Maggie.
"I'm so worried about Lucy."
"I just saw your Uncle Dean,"
said Mrs. Tulliver,
"and he told me that he received a letter from Mudport from Mr. Stephen Guest, delivered by horseman this morning. The letter says that he is going abroad. He begs Lucy's forgiveness and explains that neither he nor you ever wanted to hurt her. He says that you are not at all to blame for what happened. Your Uncle Dean says he read the letter to Lucy, and she seems calmer now."
"Oh, thank God,"
said Maggie.
"And Philip Wakeham?
Have you heard anything of him?
Well, no,
said Mrs. Tulliver.
But they say that his father is very upset. You see, he told some people in St. Ogg's that he was allowing his son to court you. Then when this news came, he looked a bit of a fool, you see. It must have been very humiliating for him. He's a proud man.